bearing witness of Jesus. In John chapter 1, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. There in John chapter 1, verse number 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Hey, going to bear witness of Jesus here tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, again, we're grateful to be here tonight. But Lord, I do need you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you fill me with your Spirit right here, right now this evening. Lord, use me. Give me your words. Give me your boldness. Give me the truth of your words here this evening, Lord. And you do what you do, and you speak to the hearts of those here tonight. And we'll give you the glory for it. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So what does it mean to bear witness to Jesus? It means to testify of who He is. It means to testify of what He's done in your life. And hey, have you ever had to stand in the witness stand in the court of law and give a witness and give a testimony? If not, if you would, think about it for a moment with me. Think about the fact that you have been called to be a witness. You appear before the court and you wait until they call you up, and then finally they put you on that witness stand, and the room is silent and everybody is looking at you. Kind of like here, right? Everybody is looking at you. But here, they begin to ask you questions, right? They begin to seek a witness. They begin to seek a testimony. They're looking for what you know, okay? They are looking for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, right? Your witness has the power to bring clarity to the situation. Your witness will ultimately determine or influence the decisions that will be made. In that moment, you're not to speak about your thoughts. You're not to speak about your opinions. You are only to speak the truth. You are to bear witness to the truth, what you know to be true. Now, here in our text, we see that going on. We see John, who was not a man who drew attention to himself, but someone far greater in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, John bore witness to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the very one who would come, who came to take away the sins of the whole world. Right? The testimony that was born was the testimony that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is the truth that no man could have been able to obtain on their own if God did not bear witness to that truth. In Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 15, the Bible says, Jesus said, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Hey, can I get a witness? John was bearing witness of Jesus. So today, I'm going to give you a few truths here about bearing witness of Jesus. Number one, I want you to see here that John bore witness that Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light there in John chapter 1. Look there in verse number 5.
It says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." John bore witness that Jesus Christ is the light. This was a very important man, a very important witness for Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, right? We all heard of him. And John the Baptist was to prepare the Lord's way. He was the forerunner, the one going before the Messiah, the one he was to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. John the Baptist was sent to bear witness of Jesus Christ. He was to bear witness of that light, that the very light, the light of God, had come into the world. Now, light is a symbol. It's a symbol of purity, right? Light is a symbol of holiness, and Jesus Christ is that light. He is 100% God. He is 100% man. He is the light of this whole world. He is the light of the world. Right? And the Bible says that that light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You see, darkness does not understand light. Right? Darkness does not comprehend light. Okay? It does not like light. If you could flip over to John chapter 8. Flip over a few pages to John chapter 8 and look there at verse number 12. But what we're saying here is John bore witness that Jesus is the light. In John chapter 8, there in verse number 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Jesus Christ is that light. He is that life. You have Him, you have life. He is that life. He makes a bold claim here that He is the light of the world. Okay? He is the light that can give light. Do you realize that in heaven, we're not going to have any of these light bulbs in heaven? Right? God is light. Jesus Christ is that light, and that light never goes out. There's never any darkness in heaven. Jesus is that light. And that's what light means. Light means the absence of darkness. It means the absence of darkness. But here's the thing. Until you come to Jesus Christ for salvation, you're in darkness. You're dead in your trespasses and your sins. You are dead. You are in darkness. Right? People hate the light. They love the darkness. Right? They love the darkness. Why? Because their deeds are evil. If you could flip back a few pages to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Jesus is that light. He lights the whole world. He is the light of life. In John chapter 3, look in verse 19. In John chapter 3, verse 19 tells us there, it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Right? Jesus came into this world, but men preferred their sin. Men preferred the darkness. Right? Why? Because men commit evil deeds when? In the dark. Nothing good happens in the dark. Right? When I was lost, hey, I would want to go out in the dark and commit all my evil deeds and commit my sin in the dark. That's what lost people do. Right now that I'm saved, as soon as it gets dark, I don't want to be out in the dark. I've got better things to do than go out and do those things, right? But Jesus came. He is the light of the world. He came into the world, and men didn't like the light, right? That light in the world, it can accomplish one of two things, right? The light in this world accomplishes one of two things. Either it will cause people to repent of their sins and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, or else it will cause them to reject the light and continue on in the path of darkness. The path that leads to hell. The path that leads to an eternal torment. You see, one leads to salvation. The other will lead to condemnation. Now, you would think the light comes into the world and everybody would love the light. Everybody would want the light. Everybody would want to come to the light, is what you would think. But that's not always the case. I remember back a few years ago, my first time after I got saved, going back to Indiana, hey, I thought I had this new thing. I was just going to go tell everybody I knew, and they were just going to get saved, right? I'm just, hey, look, I didn't know what to do or what to say. All I could say is, hey, God loves you. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. He died for you. He was buried and He rose again the third day. And if you believe on Him, He'll take you to heaven when you die. I didn't know what else to do or say or anything else, but hey, I knew that and I had that. I had that light, right? And I thought, oh, everybody's just going to come to that light. But that's not always the case, is it? It's not always the case. Now as the years have gone by, and recently, within the past year and a half, I was able to lead both my mom and my dad to the Lord. But hey, there was a lot of stuff going on in between that time. There was a lot of darkness that was prevailing, right? But I thought, hey, everybody's going to come to the light. But that's not the case. People love their sin. They do not want to face the light because, hey, their deeds are evil. They do not want to turn from their evil. People love their sin. People love alcohol. Right? People don't want to turn from their alcohol. People love the things of this world. They love their phone and their screen time, and they love their social media, and they love their football. And hey, if I came to the light, I might have to give up these things. If I came to the light, Jesus might want me to do something. I don't want to give up these things of the world, right? These same people think that they are so free. They think they are so free to do whatever they want, but that's not the case. They are living in the enslavement of bondage. They are engulfed in bondage of their sin and in darkness, and they don't even know it. And Ephesians chapter 2 tells us they are dead in trespasses and sins. And the thing of it is many of them have been in darkness for so long that they don't have the strength to break that bondage. They're trying to do everything in their own strength, and it'll never happen, instead of just coming to the light. Come to the light. If you could flip over to John chapter 12. Why do people love the darkness? Because their deeds are evil. In John chapter 12, look there in verse number 35. Jesus is the light. He says here in John 12:35, He says, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Hey, the light isn't going to be here forever. The light's not going to be around. You're not going to have the opportunity forever to come to the light. He says, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Hey, have you ever been in the dark? Maybe you've gotten up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and you're stumbling around trying to get to the bathroom. It's dark, you can't see, and all of a sudden you stub your toe, all right, you fall down on the toys, you trip, and something happened, right? It's dark, you cannot see. Hey, you got to come to the light while you can see. You can only be delivered from darkness through the light of Jesus Christ. That is it. Jesus is that light of the world. He is the light of the world. Now imagine for a moment, if you would, you're out in the middle of the sea. You're out in the middle of the sea in a stormy night, and it's pitch black. Now, if you've ever been out in the boat or in the lake at night, and it's dark all around you, and all of a sudden a storm comes up. The waves are crashing the boat, and the winds are howling, and you begin to get frightened and afraid because you can't see anything and you don't know where you're going. But off in the distance, off in that distance, you see a flickering light. Just a ray of hope, a little tiny light, right? A beacon of light. What is that light? That light is a lighthouse, right? That lighthouse appears. That single light gives you hope, right? It gives you direction. It gives you a sense of peace and hey, I know where I'm going now. But see, Jesus is that light. Jesus is that light. And without Him, our life can feel like we're navigating in the dark. We're lost. We're overwhelmed. We're hopeless. We're helpless as these waves are crashing us, right? But also as that the light of that lighthouse does not clear the storm, it gives us hope in a direction. Jesus Christ, the light, doesn't take all the storms from us, does He? When we come to the light, when we come to Jesus Christ, He's not going to take all of those storms and all of those trials from us. But here's what He does. He is the light. He gives us a direction. He gives us hope. He gives us peace. He gives us a sense that, hey, He's going to walk through that storm with us. Right? Just like the disciples when they were out on the boat all night long in that storm, and Jesus came walking on the water to them. Right? They were frightened and afraid. But when Jesus came, everything was good. Everything was good. Jesus gave them directions. In 1 John 1:7, the Bible says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Hey, are you keeping your eyes on the light? Are you looking up to Him? Or are you letting that darkness overwhelm you in your life here today? In John 12:46, Jesus says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." That's why He came. To seek and to save that which was lost, to give light to this dark world, we need to be looking to Him, looking to that light. Hey, all I'm saying is John bore witness that Jesus is the light. Second thing here I want you to see is that John bore witness that Jesus is the Lamb of God. If you could turn back to John chapter 1, Jesus is the very Lamb of God prophesied in the Old Testament. But turn here to John chapter 1. Back here in John chapter 1 and verse 29. In John chapter 1, verse 29, Bible says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Scroll down to verse 36. Verse 36, "And looking upon Jesus as He walked, He saith, Behold the Lamb of God." Hey, John was bearing witness. He was bearing witness that Jesus is the Lamb of God. John did not know who the Messiah was. John did not know that Jesus was the Messiah. John only knew that the Messiah was coming. I mean, John grew up with Jesus. They were cousins. But he never knew that He was the Messiah, the Chosen One, the Savior of all mankind. But God had given him a sign. God had given him a sign that the Holy Spirit would come upon the Messiah in the form of a dove. And so John saw that, and John saw Jesus and that dove there. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Think about that. Jesus is the very Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. The Old Testament tells us there. If you could flip over to Isaiah 53... Isaiah 53, the prophet Isaiah here pictures the coming Messiah as a slain a lamb. In Isaiah chapter 53, we're looking here at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 53, there in verse number 4, Isaiah chapter 53 in verse number 4, Isaiah 53, verse 4 tells us here, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter." Jesus is described here as being brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearer is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. Crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And Isaiah pictures Him here, pictures Jesus as a lamb brought to the slaughter, and he doesn't open His mouth. He doesn't retaliate. He willingly goes to the cross of Calvary to die for the sins of all mankind. Willingly. Why? Because He is a Lamb of God. Jesus is that Lamb of God. Isaac, in the Old Testament, you know, Abraham and Isaac. Abraham's going to sacrifice Isaac to God. And Isaac asked the question in Genesis 22, in verse 7. Isaac said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" I think about little Isaac there, and they're going up, him and his dad Abraham are going up into the mountain. They know they're going to provide a sacrifice to God, but they got the fire, they got the wood, they got the fire, they got everything, but there's no lamb. Right? The little boy's like, where is the sacrifice? Right? Where's the lamb? But it's great what he says. He gives us the promise in verse 8. He says, Abraham said, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for the burnt offering. God will provide it. Hey, son, God is going to provide that lamb. And as we look here in Genesis chapter 1 there in verse 36, when John sees the witness, he sees the dove appearing on Jesus, and Jesus is that Lamb of God. And he says, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. The very promise that God would provide Himself a lamb. The lamb is Jesus Christ. John is bearing witness that Jesus is that lamb. Now the lamb also here is a picture of Jesus Christ and as the Passover. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, the Bible says, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Now you remember the Passover. It refers back to the time when God delivered Israel out of the Egyptian slavery and bondage, and God had pronounced judgment upon the people of Egypt, and the firstborn from every household was going to be killed in this event here. And the children of Israel were to sacrifice a pure lamb. And they were to sprinkle that blood over the doorposts of their homes, and when God saw that blood, He would pass over. He would pass over that house, and nobody in that house would be killed. But those that didn't have the blood there, that didn't have the blood applied to that of their homes and the doorposts there, the firstborn were killed. And so that Passover there is the picture of the coming of Jesus Christ to shed His blood and die on that cross. The Lamb without blemish, a perfect Lamb. It is the sinless life of Jesus Christ. It is His blood and His blood alone that brings redemption. Right? 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus Christ is the very Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is that very sinless Son of God. He is that sinless blood that covers all sin. And He willingly went to the slaughter, willingly offered Himself as a sacrificial lamb in my place and in your place. Do you get that? He died in my place and in your place. For God hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It's all in Him. It's all in His sacrifice. Hey, that is why Jesus was born. That is why we celebrate Christmas, for His coming. Right? That is why He came, to take away the sins of the whole world. Oh yes, Jesus was a great teacher. He was a great leader. He was a great healer. He did many miracles, and He did many great things on this earth when He was here, but that's not why He came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen? Because that's you and I. That's everybody. Every person. Jesus is God's final answer to the question that Isaac asked to Abraham all those years ago when he said, where is the lamb? Right? Where is the lamb? Hey, listen, I'm telling you, Jesus is that lamb. He is the only lamb that God will accept. Behold, the Lamb of God. Hey, Jesus is the light, but He's also the Lamb of God. And let me give you a third thing here. I want you to see that John was bearing witness that Jesus is the life. Jesus is the life. Without Jesus, you have no life. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on Him hath everlasting life. And John 5:24, the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Then John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I could stand here and do this all day long, but I'm telling you that Jesus is the life. He's not only the light, He is the light, He is the Lamb of God, but He is also the life. That is why He came. He is the life. You see, the life is opposite of dying. Okay? Life is to be delivered from the condemnation of death unto life. Jesus came into this world so that you can have life, so that we can have life. But without the love of God, there is no life. Without the very love of the Father, there is no life. And so, these very words here, eternal life, everlasting life, they're very interesting words. They speak not only of the duration, right? Everlasting means everlasting. It means forever and ever. Now, here's the problem with that. You and I have no idea what forever means. Right? We're only here for a brief moment. Right? Our life is like a vapor. We're here and gone. We don't understand forever and ever or everlasting. Right? But the Bible tells us that the duration, that is the length of time, is forever and ever. We have everlasting life, but it also talks about the quality of life. Okay, it's talking about the kind of life. We have everlasting life, meaning forever and ever, but it's talking about the quality of life. It's good quality in heaven. Right? It's good quality in heaven because it is the very life of God here. And that word hath, you hath everlasting life, it speaks of life as the present. Meaning this, we already have it. You already have everlasting life. If you've been born again, you already have everlasting life. You don't have to wait till you take your last breath here and wake up in heaven. No, you already have. We already have everlasting life. Why? Because Jesus is the life. Jesus is that life. Hey, that's the kind of life that we have in Jesus Christ. In Romans 8:1, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Right? In John 10:10, the Bible says, the thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Jesus is that life. And in John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus is that light. Hey, He's not only that light, He's not only that promised Lamb of God, He is the very life that gives us eternal life, that gives us the very life of God. You see, the difference between perishing and living, and the difference between condemnation and salvation, is the life of Christ. It's the very life of Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And those that believe in Jesus Christ are not condemned. Hey, you say, I'm a really bad person. I've committed a lot of bad sins. I've done a lot of bad things. Hey, you come to Jesus Christ, He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll save you. He'll give you a new life. He'll take you to heaven when you die. The Bible says in John 3:18, it says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. But, get this, but he that believeth not is already condemned because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. You're in Christ, you're not condemned. You're not condemned. But if you're here on the internet and you've never come to Jesus Christ to get that life, hey, one heartbeat away from condemnation. And the Bible says if you come to Jesus Christ, nothing will ever separate you from the love of God. In Romans 8:38, the Bible says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hey, all I'm saying is Jesus is the life. Jesus is the life. Do you have life? Do you have life? Think about life before salvation. Dead in trespasses and sins and dead and not even realizing it. And then think about life after salvation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Jesus is that life. It's kind of like a caterpillar. Okay? Kind of like a caterpillar. Right? That caterpillar, he comes along and he spins a cocoon and he makes a cocoon and he goes inside of that cocoon. And for all intents and purposes, he looks like he's dead, right? He looks like he's dead. You might think he's dead, but eventually he comes out and he's been transformed. He's been changed, right? That is the life in Jesus Christ. Dead in trespasses and sins before, but come to the life, come to Jesus Christ, and he transforms us. That's what salvation is. And Jesus offers that same transformation to be free from a life bound of sin and a life bound to eternal condemnation, but only through Him. Now, let me give you a last one here. John bore witness that Jesus is Lord above all. Jesus is Lord. Period. Jesus is Lord. If you look there in John chapter 3, in John chapter 3, in verse 31, the Bible says, "He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all." Jesus came down from heaven. You know, he left all the good things in heaven. He left the Father in heaven, and he left all the things that in heaven, and he came to this earth. He took on the flesh of man to die on the cross. He came down from heaven, and he is Lord of all. In John 1:15, John bare witness of him when he cried out and he said, "This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Right? He was before me. You see, the truth of the matter is that John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus in the flesh. Jesus was born before him, physically speaking, but John declares him here to have been in existence way before him. Right? In the beginning was what? The Word. Jesus was there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Jesus was there. He was already there. He did not have a time where He was not. He will never have a time when He will not be. He was never created. He has always been Lord above all. But is He Lord in your life? In Colossians 1:17, He says, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." If you turn it over to John chapter 6, we're just about to wrap this up. John chapter 6, and look there starting in verse number 38. And so Jesus would go around, and a lot of times the Jews were the ones who were giving Him a lot of hard times. And so the claim was that Jesus is God, and that didn't sit well with the Jews. In John chapter 6 and verse 38, it says, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at that last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." And then the Jews, in verse 41, the Jews then murmured at Him, because He said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He saith, I came down from heaven?" Hey, the Jews didn't believe Jesus was God. Many of them today still do not believe that Jesus is God. They're still looking for a Messiah. But hey, Jesus came down from heaven to do the Father's will, to see to it that all people are saved. That's why He came. He came from heaven to do God's will. But we've got to think about that too. You see, Jesus just wasn't programmed to do automatically do what God's will was. He had a free will just like you and I. We have a free will. We can choose. We can choose to have the light, or we can reject it. But Jesus had the mind and a will that was separate. If you remember in Gethsemane when Jesus prayed, right before He was crucified, He says, "Not my will, but thine will be done." Remember that. He said, hey, He willed for that cup to be removed. If there was some other way other than going to that cross of Calvary, Jesus wanted to do it, but He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He subjected Himself to the Father's will. Hey, all I'm saying is this. Jesus is above all. He is Lord above all. He has all authority. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. He is Lord of all. He is the light. He is the Lamb of God. He is the life. He is Lord of all. But is He Lord in your life? You see, John came. He bared witness to the greatness of Jesus Christ. He bared witness to Jesus being that light and that He is Lord. But is Jesus Lord in your life? Is He Lord in your life? And today is the day that you can surrender to Him. You can surrender to Him. You can trust Him as Savior. And if you've already done that, then you can go ahead and start living for Him today. You can be a witness for Jesus Christ. We can bear witness to Jesus for Jesus Christ. Would you bear witness for Jesus Christ today? Let's pray.